Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
I did what I thought was going to be like the pinnacle of romance one Valentine's Day. I'm going to take my wife to a Broadway play, and so I took her to The Lion King, and I don't know why I didn't realize that it was going to be like a kid's play, you know? And they literally have booster chairs in the play so kids can get them. And so I'm thinking I'm romancing her to a Broadway play, and little Johnny's sitting next to us. Simba, right? He's like all jazzed up. I'm like, oh, man. But it really was this epic show where the pageantry and everything, like immediately it just rolls out and all your senses are stimulated and you can feel some stuff. And here's the, if you understand the story, the story is about Simba. Simba, the name means lion, and he was someone that was called to be king, but chose a life of comfort instead. And I remember as I'm watching this play unfold, they get to this epic scene where Simba, who had abandoned his destiny for a life of comfort and running away from his past, suddenly he's confronted with his father, Mufasa. For the record, Mufasa, it means king. And so his great king, that had father who had died, he sees a reflection of him, and suddenly he hears the voice of his father, and he says, Simba, you have forgotten me. And instantly he replies, Father, I could never forget you. And he says these words, he says, you've forgotten who you are, and therefore you've forgotten me. And then this is the part that got me. He says, you're more than you've become. And immediately I just started bawling like violently. You know, I look at the little kid, and he's like, it's okay, mister. It's just a show, right? And I'm just sobbing. And then the words are this: it's time for you to step up and to take your place. The scene ends with this: remember, remember. And so that's kind of my goal for us this morning. See, Simba was able to remember where he was from and who his father was, and suddenly it totally altered his destiny. And that's where I want us to go today, because I think we need to remember. I think that whether it be our youth or if you're just new to Christ, listen, you have a destiny and a calling from God. And unless you stay dialed in, remembering who you are, who you belong to, you're gonna get off, and your faith will become weak and impotent. But if we can remember, God can do amazing things through your life. And so, if we're honest, we're not very good at remembering things, can we? Like, anyone been in that place? How many, just as show of honesty, how many have ever walked into a room and you're there for something? You get in there and you're like, yep, cannot remember what it was. Listen. If you have not done that, be ready. It's coming for you, okay? How many two have had, like, this thing that you wanted to say? You're amongst your friends, and it was going to, oh, I can't wait, and you're waiting for your turn, and then your turn comes, and it's like, I just want to, oh, I just can't remember. Like, it's gone. Can't remember what you were going to say. Let me see. If I haven't got you that, how about this? And this one is probably the most alarming. It's happened to me often. How many have ever been driving and you've been on a trip for quite some time and suddenly you realize you don't remember, like, the last 10 minutes of your drive, right? Like, that's a terrifying idea. How about this? Has anyone ever met somebody new and you shake their hands and you're worried about saying your name to them, and then they tell you their name and it never even sticks, right? Never even didn't have a chance of staying with you. And then this will probably be the last one that I've been guilty of. How many have had anywhere between 5 and 5,000 different passwords because you've forgotten them all, right? Right? And so that's pretty much. See, we're not good at remembering. And so my hope and my prayer is that this morning that you'll remember three things, and that is this. You'll remember the covenant. You remember who God is, and then remember who you are, or maybe I should say it this way, whose you are. And so that's where I want to go today. And so, Lord, give us great grace, I pray, in Jesus' name. And so we have a couple new guests, and we're here in actually a series called Casket Empty. We're at a pivotal part. We're in a new character, the A in the word casket. C was creation. A is for this guy, Abram, and he's an unbelievably important character in your scriptures. He's referenced in your Bible 308 times. Do you know that God takes one chapter to describe all of creation, and he takes 14 chapters to describe the life of Abraham? He's a very big deal. And did I mention that Abraham's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson is someone you might have heard of, Jesus Christ, all right? And so he's a very important. Abraham is called the man of faith or the father of faith. And he's actually Hebrews 11, which is like the hall of fame of faith people. And but you know what's amazing? We're going to look at him today, and he's going to look a lot like you and I. That actually that Abraham and Sarah, the great couple of faith, are absolutely going to start cracking up laughing at the absurd promises of God. And so they're going to look a lot like you and I, but God's going to remind them of a few things. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And let's go in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. There's actually a critical verse for the Christian, and that is this. It says this, that, and he, being Abram, believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so what we see here is Abraham, he believed God, or what? He exercised faith. And faith is unbelievably important to the Christ follower. Like if you read it, the scripture is clear. It says we're saved by grace through faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? And so it's faith, faith, faith. If you ever take a quiz, just guess Jesus or faith, and you're probably going to be right on a Bible quiz, all right? But here's the thing. Faith is easy to talk about, but it can be more difficult to walk in. And here's the thing I love about the Bible. The Bible doesn't run away from that. The Bible doesn't say, oh, yeah, just believe God, and it's going to be so easy. It doesn't. It actually goes the opposite direction. It says you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. And so God's going to help us in our fight here this morning. And so if I can just recap with you, Genesis 12, we're introduced to Abram, and God makes all these amazing promises to you, to him. I'm going to give you a family. Nations are going to come from you. Through your life, I'm going to bless the entire world. Can we agree that that's a pretty big promise? And so that's in Genesis 12. And so Abram believes, and he leaves his family, his nation, all these places to go to a promised land from God. And so Abram's doing his part, but then, now we read in chapter 15, it's been some time since then. And now in chapter 15, Abram's like, hey God, I did what you asked me to do. Where's all this blessing at? And when we get in chapter 15, suddenly we start reading, and it's like, he seems a little disappointed in God, like a little discouraged. Anyone ever been there before? Like God overpromised and underdelivered? Is that anybody's experience? No, me neither, right? That's never happened to me either, right? And so, of course, that's happened. And so I love the honesty of the Bible and, more importantly, the honesty of Abram, because Abram confronts God, and he says, hey, God, you've promised all this stuff to me. I don't have a kid, and you promised me a kid. And so he's upfront and honest with God. And I want to encourage some of you today that, you know, intimacy is impossible without honesty. Like, you think about the people you're closest with. Like you'll say things with your spouse you would never say in front of people. Like, if you heard some of the things that I would say I feel comfortable around my wife, you would not let me be your pastor, all right? It's just the truth, all right? But because I'm comfortable, because I can be most intimate and honest with my wife. And so God, how much more God, and I want to let you know on another little secret. Do you know that God's omniscient? That means he already knows. So what we think we're like doing by disguising and pretending that, oh God, I'm blessed and highly favored, when inside you feel sorrow, you're like, God, where are you? Hey, God is big enough to handle brutal honesty. I promise you, he will be honest with you, all right? And so let's read, we're going to read Genesis 15. I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. It says this, but he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? It being the land and the promises. He says, God, how can I know? And here's what God's response is. Verse 9, and he said to him, bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all of these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in half. How many know the ASPCA would be up in arms, right, do that? And it was not good to be a goat or a lamb back in the day, right? But here's what we see is God is going to cut covenant with Abram, with his friend Abram. God's going to cut a covenant. Now, covenant is not something we talk about and do, like maybe here and there we hear about it, but we think, when we think covenant, we think contract, right? And so contract is something, it's legal and transactional. Now, a covenant is that, it's legal and transactional, but it's much more than that. It's also personal and relational. So it's not less than a contract. It is more than a contract. Can I tell you this? Like, most of you, you have a contract with Verizon. They're going to give you goods and services, and you're going to pay. They don't care about you, despite what the customer service might say. They don't care. They don't know you or anything. And so that's what's called a contract. Now, with we normally we'll talk about covenant in the when we discuss marriage. A marriage covenant. It's contractual, legal, but it's also relational and personal. And so can you imagine if our wedding vows were transactional? I mean, listen, weddings would be a blast. So could you imagine the dude, like, he's facing her and she's in her dress, and the guy's like, I promise to honor you and cherish you so long as you remain the same weight right now. I promise to love you and to cherish you so long as you have dinner on the table every night, no later than 7 p.m. I promise to love and cherish you as long as you never have a headache ever again, right? That type of thing. But then the woman, don't worry, she could roll up that sleeves on her dress and she could be like, yeah, and I promise to respect and honor you so much as you always make six figures. You never have a dad bod, right? And if there's any toilet seat infractions more than 2 months, I'm out, right? Like, come on, that would be so entertaining. I want to share with you really, honestly, this is true. Like, this is the greatest wedding proposal I've ever heard in my life. So it's actually a pastor, so the pastor was represented, but this dude, so he had been with his girl for quite some time, and he picks her up in his Honda Accord, right? Beat up, kind of high mileage. Hey, he's in his Honda Accord, picks her up. They go down to a lake, and waiting at the lake is a speedboat. And so she's like, And so they park the car, and they get into the speedboat, and he whisks her around the lake. And they're laughing and having fun. And then finally they pull up to an island that was located in the middle of the lake. And they dock the boat on the island. They get off, and waiting there is a picnic basket and a blanket laid out, little flower. And they have this picnic, and they talk about their lives together. They do up the picnic. They get back in the speedboat, and he whisks her away back to the original launch site. And waiting for them is a limo. The limo's there, and she's like, uh-oh, this is different, right? And so she's like, and they get in the limo, and they drive over to a small airfield, and there is waiting a little Cessna plane. They board the plane, and they fly off a 15-minute flight to a little deserted landing strip, and they land, and waiting for them is a beat-up pickup truck. They get into the pickup truck, and they drive to the countryside to this remote little chapel. And he get her out, and he opens up the door to the chapel, and then waiting at the altar is a candle in an envelope. She walks up, they walk up together, she opens up the letter, will you? She turns around, boom, he's on his knee and proposes to her. She says, yes, right? And so, but here it even gets cooler, because then he takes her to dinner that night, and he explains, you know, that each one of those vehicles represented a moment in our life together. He says, the Honda Accord, it's for the ordinary time. It's for the day-to-day that we're together. He said, the boats are moments of our life when we're together, and it's just fun, and we're laughing and playing, and life is fast, and it's good. And then he says this, and then he says, the limo is for those seasons of our life when we just can't make it on our own, and that we need other people to care for us and to see us through these times. He says the Cessna is our spiritual life together as we grow together in God and soar to the heavens with one another. And he says the pickup truck is as we grow old and we get beat up together in life. Is that the coolest ever or what? And so that brother understands covenant because he says, I know there's going to be all these seasons, but I'm binding myself to you. And that's what God does with us, that he binds himself to us. He binds himself to Abram through this idea of covenant. And what he does is it's a covenant ceremony called the passing through the pieces. And so they would take animals, carve them in half, like how you cut a heifer in half like that, and the pieces would be laid out, and the covenant partners would walk through the pieces. It's called passing through the pieces. And the idea is, if I break this covenant, may that happen to me. And so that's a little different than just signing your name on a sheet of paper. He says, may that happen to me. But here's the weird thing that happens in this covenant ceremony. Abram goes to sleep, and God walks through the pieces. And so here's what that conveys to us. God says this, Abram, if I break my word, may I be ripped in two. And then he says this, Abram, if you break your word, may I be ripped in two. God is both a recipient of the covenant. And if I could fast forward to you some 3,000 years later, Jesus Christ is in an upper room with his 12 disciples. He takes a piece of bread and he rips it in half. And he says, this is my body that it's broken for you. It's a new covenant between you and I. This is the blood of my body that's shed for you. It's the blood of what? A new covenant that we have together. And so we see that Jesus, he bears our sin, and we get his righteousness in this new covenant. And so Abram receives the sign of the covenant. Do you guys know what the sign of the new covenant is? I know it's, you feel weird to say it in the church. Let's find out in Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. It says, God says, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm Abram, I feel ripped off because Noah had a covenant with God, and Noah got a rainbow, okay? Abram gets circumcision, all right? But here's what our man does. Our man of faith, it says that he went that same day and circumcised himself and his entire male household. Now, I don't know about you, fellas, if God appears to me and says that, I'm going to need a little while to be disobedient, all right? But not Abram, man, that same day, the man of faith. And so are you that responsive in your faith to God? Like when God speaks to you, do you respond and take that step of faith? Do you know for us in the new covenant that there's a new circumcision that the Bible talks about, that our hearts have been circumcised? In other words, there's a part of our fleshly nature that God, he begins to circumcise and cut away, that now we have new hearts. Hearts that are soft and pliable, that we love God and we love people. And then we have two signs of the new covenant are these two, water baptism. And so I would say this, have you been water baptized? Because it is the sign of the covenant that you have between God and you. And what did Abram do? He went immediately and did that thing. And so if you've not been water baptized, it doesn't save you, but it is a sign of your covenant with Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, come see Pastor Dottie or myself if you've not been water baptized. And then we also get communion, the Lord's Supper, are these reminders, signs of a covenant that we have with God. And so that's the first thing, remember the covenant. Number two is this, you got to remember who God is. Remember who God is. And so let me just real quickly, so Genesis 15 was the covenant that was cut. Genesis 16, just real quick, God decides, or Abram decides, I'm going to help God out. I'm not having a kid. So Sarah, his wife, says, hey, we're not getting pregnant. Why don't you sleep with my handmaiden Hagar? Fellas, for the record, if your wife ever asks this of you, the answer is no. Heck no, honey. And so, but he sleeps with her, and she gets pregnant, and they have a kid named Ishmael, all right? And so Ishmael is born. Listen, I'll just say this. Ishmael is going to become the father of the Arab people. The promised son, Isaac, is going to be the son of the Jews. Guess what? They're to this day are experience friction. When you don't respond to God in faith, you invite chaos into your life. Chaos that we're still experiencing today. And so chapter 17, now get this, the Bible can be strange. You got to beware of where you're reading. From chapter 16 to 17 is 14 years. Like 14 years. And in that, now Abram's in a dangerous spot. He's got a kid. God's blessed him. He's got it on cruise control. Anyone been there before? With God. And your relationship with God becomes predictable, boring. I heard somebody say this. If you're bored in your relationship with God, guess what? So is he. And so God is going to stir the relationship up. Chapter 17, he's going to get back to remember our covenant. Remember our covenant. 12 times in chapter 17, he says the covenant, the covenant, the covenant. He's reminding them of their relationship together. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, it says this. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. If you have like a real Bible, underline that one. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and you may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face. And so here's what I need us to see is you got to remember who God is. When you see in your Bible when it says the Lord, and the Lord is all capitalized, that's the Hebrew word for Yahweh. Yahweh means I am the covenant-keeping, relationship-keeping God with my people. It's a great word. But now we see for the first time in your scriptures, God reveals himself as something else. He says, me, I am Almighty God. I am the El Shaddai. I am Almighty. It's the first time that's ever been used in the scriptures. God is telling Abram this. Yeah, we're in relationship together, but Abram, you have no idea who you're in relationship with. I am unbelievably powerful. And that's who he's sharing. And here's what I want to share. Like, men, men, look at me in my face. You guys heard of David in the Bible? Can I just tell you this? David is way cooler than you. All right? Me too. All right? Listen, you're tough, but Ryan, playing NFL football. You know, I got Don, jiu-jitsu. You guys are unbelievably tough. David would smoke you guys. All right? I'm not tough. I got beat up all the time. But David killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. Like, Paul, you're a hunter and all that, but brother, come on, man, not with your bare hands. He killed this giant that tormented the armies of Israel, and then he cut off his head, and he flashed it out to the armies of Israel, and the men roared. After that, you know what, men? The women sang songs about this guy. So can we agree that he's cooler than you, right? And this is David, and so I want to know, David, how did you get like this? David in Psalm chapter 34, verse 9, he says this. He says, fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing, lack nothing. And so here's what I need us to see. I feel like what's happened is we just know the cuddly Jesus, and we fail to understand he is the El Shaddai. He is the mighty God. And in so doing so, we rob ourselves of strength. When I retired from the NHL, I did an outreach with the Navy SEALs. It was unbelievably cool. And we did some stuff, and I met a pastor who pastors the SEALs. His name is Greg Warwick. He has what's called Force Ministries. And I'm as chaplain with the Jets, I want to connect some of our players with some of the SEALs. Maybe we could do kind of share their testimony and stuff. And I'm trying to arrange it with Greg, Pastor Greg. And Greg's like, and finally I could tell he was just trying to patronize me a little bit. And he's like, bro, he says, I think it's cute that that the guys would like to share their testimony. But these guys they live in the face of death all the time. And so I know it's a cute little football story, but I don't think it's going to get a rise out of those guys. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right, okay? And kind of just kind of did that. So now, if that's true, how much more the angels of God? Like, do you know what? Whenever angels appear in the Bible, do you know what the first words are? Fear not. Fear not, because why? It's not a little cute baby. It's a terrifying warring angel, and these angels, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, and so this unbelievable, but so how mind-blowing is it that these angels, when God began to create the heavens and the earth, the book of Job says that the angels, they shouted for joy. Like how amazing is it that these warriors that have seen everything, they see that and they're like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Like they start freaking out, shouting for joy. That these fearless angelic warriors, it says this, that when they're in the presence of God, they shudder and they cry out, holy, holy, holy. And so if that's the case, you know, remember John the Beloved, who wrote the book of Revelations? John gets a vision. He just sees a vision of the Lord. And do you know what it says John does? It says he fell on his face like a dead man. And then this part gets me the best too. How many are like me? You're just, God, just speak to me. God, I wish you would speak to me. And listen, that's amazing. But do you know that when God audibly spoke to the Jews at Mount Sinai, you know what they said? Don't let him speak to us anymore. We're going to die. And so this is who God is. And I think it's healthy for us to know that, because suddenly our little problems and things that seem impossible are suddenly possible. And God's like, I am the Almighty God. You're going to have a kid, all right? And so, and this is a side note. Any of you going through difficult times right now in your life? Do you know that it's do you know how we get all the names for God in the scriptures? Jehovah Jireh, Provider, Jehovah Rapha, the healer, Jehovah Nisi, our banner, all these different names. Do you know every single time the name of a new nuance of who God is revealed? It's in tough times, in difficult times, God reveals himself to us. And so I don't know who that's for. And then finally here, remember who you are, or maybe I should say it this way, whose you are, that you belong to somebody. Because God is going to change the names of Abram and Sarah. Let me read it for you in Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 through 5. Verse 4 says, behold, my covenant is with you. This is God speaking. And you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of multitudes. And then in verse 15 of chapter 17, it says, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And so let's talk about this real briefly. And so I was reading actually an article about a Harvard researcher, and his name was Rob Rosenthal, and he actually went to elementary schools, and he performed a test. The test was called this, the Harvard Test of Inflected Acquisition. And so it sounds very Harvard, right? And so it's in elementary schools, and it was designed to see which students had unusual potential for intellectual growth. And so what they did is the students all took the test, and then it was revealed to the teachers, 20% of the students identified as these high potential for learning students. And so the teachers work with them for over a year, and then at the end of the year, those students ranked 27 IQ points higher than the rest of the student body. But here's the catch. The research wasn't for the students. It was for the teachers. The students were just all normal. There was no test. Like, they just made up the test, and they just randomly picked off students. But suddenly, the narrative changed for the teachers. And now the teachers are like, they were more empathetic. They were more loving. They listened. They challenged more. And suddenly the kids just blew up and went to did perform better than they ever could have imagined. Why? Because their story changed. Okay? And so God is about to change the story of Abram and Sarah. He's going to change the narrative. And you can do that when you're called the author and the finisher of our faith. And so God gets to do that. And God changed Sarah's name. And here's what you need. Sarai means princess. Sarah means princess. So you want, like, what's the name change, God? Well, here's what it is if you can hear the syllable Sarah, ah, you hear ah is added to the end of her name. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is called the Ruach? The Ruach. That's the Hebrew word for spirit or breath. Now suddenly Sarah is Sarah. That suddenly now she's orienting her life around the spirit in the presence of Almighty God. She gets a new identity that orients around the Holy Spirit. And so for you, and I think that's unbelievably important, because if you start interjecting the Holy Spirit into your narrative will change. There's a girl, maybe you've heard of her, Meghan Markle. I think you've heard of her, right? So she just took on the identity of her husband, Harry, and suddenly what? She's no longer Meghan Markle. Who is she? She's the Duchess of Sussex, all right? And that's who we are as now we orient her. We are, our primary identity is son and daughter of God, and nothing and no one can ever change that or take that away from us. Your identity as an employee, as a man, as a woman, as a father, all these things, all that stuff's going to be wiped away, and one thing is going to remain, that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And then they changed the name of Abram. Abram means exalted father, so which is kind of a weird name to give your kid. Like, you name your kid, hey, my dad's great, right? So I thought that was funnier than you guys, but anyway, so he's named Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. And so here's what he's doing. God's saying, I want you to see your life playing out through the lens of my words, Abraham. And so you're now suddenly, when people say your name and you hear your name, you don't hear exalted father. You hear, no, I am the father of a multitude. I'm the father of a multitude over and over. And the scriptures tell us that faith begins to come by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so here's what I want to challenge us. Let's not just have this be a cute story. I got news for you. We're not changing our names this morning. But what we can do is we can confess the word of God over our life. And so listen, I came from the prosperity kind of gospel thing. And I think that's a mixed bag, you know, blab it and grab it. But listen, so I really got away from that, and now God has begun to, he pulled me back over to go, listen, I'm not asking you. See, prosperity gospel is trying to bend God to do what you want him to do. See, confession is we are bending our lives to align with the word of God, and that's the difference, and it's unbelievably important. And so you need to confess the word of God over your life. And then lastly, I love this. You want to change your identity? Some of you are going to have to change your community. Because God says, listen, Abram, you're going to let everybody know in your circle, you're not Abram, you're Abraham, right? And so, you know, even psychologists tell us this. It's called your looking glass self. You will take on the identity of the three closest relationships in your life. So show me your friends, I'll show you your future, is basically what it is. And so some of us might need to change our community in order for our identity to line up with who God says that we are.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.